A new Latin American book has captured the attention of academics and policymakers from Washington, D.C. to New Delhi. It's called The Mystery of Capital: Why Capitalism Triumphs in the West and Fails Everywhere Else. It was written by a Peruvian economist, Hernando de Soto. 8 years ago, Mr. de Soto was nearly killed in his native Peru for his economic theories. But with the fall of the government of Alberto Fujimori last month, the political landscape in that country has dramatically changed. From Lima, John Miller reports that Mr. de Soto has become a major celebrity in a country that's hungry for new ideas.
There's no wine or cheese at this book launching. There is a brass band, though, and vendors selling hot dogs and potato chips. It's a Friday night, and about 1,000 curious people are crammed into the open-air courtyard of a technical school called Jesus the Worker in one of the poorest sections of Lima. The person they've come to hear is a bald, stocky man with a bit of a sniffle.
Estoy totalmente emocionado.
10 years ago, Hernando de Soto was one of the most well-known people in Peru, the main architect of economic policies that rescued the country from 7,000% inflation. But in 1992, his office was bombed by leftist guerrillas. Later that year, he split with Alberto Fujimori over the president's increasing authoritarianism, and he dropped out of public life. In 1995, he began traveling the globe, studying the economics of third world poverty.
La necesidad de comenzar a comprender dónde está en verdad la fuente de la riqueza.
What he found in his travels, he tells the crowd, is that poor people in places like Peru actually own a huge proportion of their country's wealth. Add up the value of their houses and workshops and pushcarts and land, and you find that they've got billions of dollars in assets. But they can't do anything with those assets, they can't use them to generate capital, because the law simply doesn't recognize them as theirs. So the first thing any government should do, if it wants to promote equity and economic development, is to give the poor the legal right to their own property. That strikes a chord for audience member Eladio Morocho, who runs a small woodworking shop.
The capital that we need is simple documents, title to our houses, so we can be legally registered. Unfortunately, in our country, property titles have been given for political reasons. When we try to get loans, we find out that the titles are not legal. They are not worth anything.
Outside the gate to the schoolyard, 45-year-old Reynalda Flores sits with her lantern behind a pushcart full of shoes. Her husband makes the shoes in their house, and she sells them on the street. Together, they earn about $7 a day. For years, she's been trying to get a business license so she can rent a place in an indoor market. But the time it would take her to get the license is time she needs to be on the street earning money.
Imagine what kind of legacy this is to be passing on to my children. A car on the street. If we had our own shop, at least that would be something to leave behind.
De Soto says the problem for people like Mrs. Flores is not a lack of education or entrepreneurial spirit, but a legal system that is stacked against them. In the U.S. and Europe, he says, the law protects everyone, especially when it comes to property. In the third world, though, the law protects mainly the rich. For the last 5 years, he says, the Peruvian government has passed countless laws designed to make life easier for international investors. But it still takes a squatter 17 years to get legal ownership of a shack on a Lima sand dune. It takes 3 years to register a small business. That, he says, is a surefire formula for failure.
It's about actually not being able to get into the legal system, not being able to get into the phone book, not being able to have a legal address. If you don't have addresses, you don't get credit. If you don't have addresses, you don't get deliveries. If you don't have addresses, you can't go out for investment. So the cost of being outside the system is extremely high.
De Soto says the potential gains of bringing the poor into the system are enormous, not just for them, but for the country as a whole.
The poor in Peru, just in the cities, have got $36 billion worth of assets. And if we bring in agricultural properties, we come into about $70 billion. And if we bring in their enterprises and some of their chattel and their microbuses and taxis, we get into about $90 billion. And $90 billion is 10 times more than the Lima Stock Exchange.
De Soto's book is not an easy read, but the first printing, 35,000 copies, was sold out in 7 hours. A pirated version is being sold openly on the streets. De Soto has appeared on daytime TV and on all the radio talk shows. He says he had no idea when he wrote his book that he'd even have a chance to distribute it in Peru, thanks to his chilly relations with Fujimori. Now that the government has collapsed, he says he's determined to make his ideas become official policy. And he says the place to start is not in the halls of power, but in the shanty towns.
If you're able to get to poor people and they understand, politicians will follow. It's as simple as that. Trying to convince politicians is the long way around. We have built enormous amount of things, the popular class of Peru have, over the last 50 years. Why can't it be transformed into wealth?
Not many economics texts have their own jingles, but the theme song for The Mystery of Capital has this one, played over and over at the Shantytown book launch. The song asks, "If I had capital, what would I do with it?" A compelling question in a country where months of political crisis have battered an already weak economy. With a media blitz surrounding the release of his book, many people suspect that Hernando de Soto is planning to run for president. He doesn't deny the possibility. The economy here may be in recession, but after the fall of Fujimori, the political market is wide open. For NPR News, I'm John Miller in Lima.